Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We have now come to that time where Ntabi Singh Dubazana is in studio in the flesh. You, Ntabi Singh, everybody's waiting to talk about this maintenance obligation problem. Good evening and welcome. Hello, hello, welcome.
Hello, hello.
So, okay.
You gave me a very interesting topic.
Yes.
When we parted ways last week.
Mm.
And as promised, did do my research.
Yes.
And we found I found a case that was decided last year, even though it doesn't particularly pertain to marriages mm-hmm. of same-sex partners,
mm-hmm.
but it does pertain to same-sex partners who have conceived through IVF.
Okay, let's recap.
Yes.
Because that was part of the big issue, right?
Yes.
Where there are some laws about... This came from a discussion you had with us around the father.
Yes.
And when he loses his rights as a father.
Yes.
And if the biological father had raped the mother, they would have lost their rights.
Correct. So.
And incest, I think, is another one of those cases,
yes.
right?
Okay. Yes.
And so we then went into what if the couple is a same-sex couple?
Yeah.
And what rights do they have?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, previously, in terms of Section 40 of the Children's Act, mm-hmm. okay, it deals specifically with children, rights of children who were conceived through IVF or artificial insemination. And with that, the Act specifically says that if the couple that conceives through artificial insemination were a husband or wife. It's very clear on that.
Okay, so they have to declare, or originally it has to be a husband and a wife.
That is what Section 40 okay. says, right? So it had been decided in the High Court, wherein the High Court had looked at this particular section and said, according to us, it is excluding parties, not only same-sex partners, but also even in a heterosexual partners who are choosing.
And not married.
Correct. So, right? So now it was a situation, how do we remedy this situation in order for it to not be discriminatory against certain groups? And then the court had then said that, listen, according to us, the words in a permanent life partnership
mm-hmm.
should be inserted after the word spouse, because currently spouse, as it stands, means a husband and a wife in terms of Section 40 of the Children's Act.
Can I just ask quickly?
Yes.
Permanent life partnership, the differences between that and a spouse.
So a permanent life partner is people who choose not to get married, but cohabit or live together as if they are married. And usually it was reserved for people who are in same-sex partnerships before, of course, the Civil Unions Act. I'll correct myself, but I mm-hmm. do believe the Civil Union Act, wherein it caters for same-sex partners who are able to get married in accordance to the
now
law.
Now they can, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it's governed under the Civil Union Act.
I just wanted to find out legally
yes.
whether there is anything that distinguishes spouse to permanent life partner. In other words, what are the characteristics of the so-called permanent life partner?
So spouse, you're married in terms
civilly.
Of... under the Matrimonial Act, Marriages Act,
it's registered.
Customary Act or Civil Union.
Yeah.
Same, and then permanent life is when you're living together but have not married, but not cohabitation either.
I was going to go just there. To say then what's the distinction between that and cohabitation?
So in terms of same permanent life partners, it is strictly more than anything else referring to people in a homosexual relationship
only.
Versus those in a heterosexual relationship.
Really?
Only because for quite some time they were not permitted to marry in terms of our law.
Okay.
So that was basically a way in which they could live together as if they are a couple that is married or to be seen as spouses. So that term really hasn't fallen away with the changes that have come about.
So Eddie and I decide to cohabit.
Yes.
We decide we are not going to get married.
Mm.
We decide we are going to be life partners.
Yes.
we are still called cohabitors?
Correct. That is what the other parties who were the amicus curiae in this particular case were arguing about. Everything about the applicant's matter wherein they want to be recognized as parents for the child was conceived by one of the... It was a same-sex couple who were women.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them had conceived through IVF.
Mm.
So now the amicus, who was now part and parcel of the argument, was saying, with everything that you're putting forth, we agree with you fully. The only part that we have an issue with is the as permanent life partner part, because that can exclude persons in a heterosexual relationship.
Yes.
So now, because there was no real fight for that part, you're heterosexual, the Constitutional Court kept it as permanent life partners.
Okay, let's look at it the way it currently is.
Yes.
Do the law around permanent life partners, which is for same-sex marriages, I suppose, at this point, do they have to have an agreement? And the reason is now they can get married.
Yes.
So again, what then distinguishes their marriage to this permanent life partnership?
The permanent life partnership versus being married under the Civil Union Act.
In the same-sex marriage.
Yes, in the same-sex marriage.
The differences.
The differences are that it is basically legalizing, for lack of a better term, cohabitation between same-sex partners.
I accept that. So what then is the distinction? Because permanent life partnership is legalizing cohabitation.
With that having been said, where it is now officially legalized, you are now recognized as a spouse. Whereas in this one, you are not recognized as a spouse. So you will not be able to have the same rights that Ntabi Singh and Pamela, who happen to be married under the Civil Union Civil Union Act, will have. So the word spouse is attached to you, to us who are married under the Act, and not attached to those in a permanent life partnership.
Is there a legal document that determines that you're a permanent life partner?
I want to actually find that. I will answer you.
Let's take a break.
Yes.
When we do that, and when we come back, I'm very happy to take your calls. 086-000-0959. 063-688-0959. That's where you can send those voice notes with any legal question for Ntabi Singh Dubazan. All right, Ntabi Singh Dubazan is here, your legal expert for absolutely anything legal. We've got a few things that we want to get through ourselves, but you are very, very welcome to give us a call on 086-633-0959. And you can also send voice notes on 063-600-688-0959. Yeah. 063-688-0959. That's where the voice notes come through, and you can call 086-000-0959. Okay, we were still clarifying between Ntabi Singh and I whether there is a distinction and whether there is a document that confirms someone to be a permanent life partner out of the civil union marriage. So do people who are considered to be permanent life partners, do they have to go and put something together legally to say, this is us and we regard ourselves as permanent life partners? And what constitute that? What do you have to do for us to then recognize you as a permanent life partner as opposed to just cohabiting?
I was trying to find the actual wording so that I don't paraphrase it. Now the Lexis, am I allowed to say names of things?
Mm.
Okay, my LexisNexis is just showing me flames. It's not opening. There's a specific wording that I'm looking for here, but I will find it. But there is legal documentation to that.
And so let's go to the heterosexual couple.
Yes.
What has to be... I suppose maybe it's the same document that will explain how we would differentiate between you being cohabitors and being permanent life partners. Would it be the same document, even for a heterosexual couple?
With a heterosexual couple, it's either you are married or you're cohabiting.
This is nonsense.
I know. That's why this particular case that I'm referring to, the amicus curiae was saying that it is going to be discriminatory against heterosexual couples who make the choice not to get married.
Yes.
And because the when this decision was made, I think it was made in 2021.
Mm.
But the legislature has not changed the act. Even right now as we speak, when we look at the Children's Act, Section 40 remains as is. So the words that have been put in, yeah, permanent life partner, have not been inserted into Section 40. So even if you were to go to a court right now as a same-sex couple to try and assert these rights, you'd have to bring this case law, this constitutional case law, to say the court says I'm allowed to get rights over the child that my partner is having, or if it's a woman and woman same-sex partnership, or it is a situation where it's a man and man who one of their gametes, they're specific to say one of their gametes has been used to fertilize another person, and that child that is going to be born of that, this father who's not part and parcel of that union, that fertilization, can have the rights over the child. So you have to go hold in this case to say this is what the law is right now, but the section has not been amended. That's where the problem is.
Okay, let's then talk about heterosexual couples.
Yes.
And those rights, those who co habit, because they're now not seen as life partners, right? Those who cohabit, yeah. And what rights they have.
All right. So, with heterosexual couples, there are three different kinds of rights that exist when it comes to children. There's the Section 19 rights, wherein as a biological father to that child, if you're not married to the mother, you don't automatically have those rights, so you have to apply for those.
Then do you have the obligations?
Nothing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Until this mother now comes and says give out the maintenance, then you can now also assert your rights. That's how it usually happens most of the time. It is not automatic if you're not married to this person when this child was conceived. And then you have your Section 20.
You see how wide-eyed I am. So, you have a child with somebody, even if you're in the same roof, ne?
Yes.
And you just decide, I'm not going to take responsibility. Yes. No one's going to force you.
Yes.
Until somebody forces you.
Yes, because the law doesn't automatically recognize you as that parent.
Because you didn't marry the woman.
Correct. So it cannot be automatically assumed.
And you are the biological father.
It cannot be assumed that you are automatically that biological father. That's what they're saying. But if you're married, it can be automatically assumed that you are the one who made this child with this woman.
Okay, let's go through this again.
Okay.
Me and Eddie live in the one room.
Yes.
We have child X.
Mm.
And until, but we're not married. Until I go to the court and say to the law, force Eddie to take responsibility and pay maintenance, well, and do something.
Yeah.
Maybe he's here, but gee, he's not doing what he has to do. He's not looking after the child. Until I do that, Eddie can sit here, have no problem. We live together and he does nothing. He
yes.
doesn't pay school fees. He just doesn't do what he has to do because no one is for. I have to go to the court to force the court to tell this man I'm living with that he's not doing his part as a
yes.
father.
Yes.
Even if we're living in one roof.
Yes.
Because he's not obligated to.
There's no legal duty on him. There's absolutely no
legal and he's yes. got I have never.
The flip side of that is
this man just has so you have no leg to stand on. In other words, do not be fooled. There's no problem here. The man doesn't have to do anything.
Yes. So the flip side of that is also if the man is doing everything, but then when he's supposed to get his rights to, let's say, for a weekend, you then go and call the police and say, he's not the father of my child. You know, that my child has been kidnapped by so-and-so.
But this is this now a cohabitor who's not a biological parent?
This is biological parent. Remember, we're talking only on Section 19 parents right now. Fathers, to be specific.
Okay.
The ones who conceive children out of the bounds of
marriage. Out of wedlock.
Yes.
So even if he is the biological father,
yes,
I then can flip the law and say this man took the child.
Yes.
Without my consent.
Yes. Especially his name, highly sealed on the birth certificate.
When he's not the spouse.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What if Eddie leaves? Mudibedi comes in. Now, this is now, it's not a stepfather because it's not a spouse.
Yes.
This is father X or partner two. Partner two comes in, lives with us.
Mm.
Partner two is not married, but partner two takes responsibility of this child.
Mm-hmm.
What rights does partner two have?
Partner two, unless he can prove that he is the biological father.
He's not
father,
the biological father. He just stepped in and he was a good man.
He has zero rights over the child.
So partner two has no rights.
Has no rights over
and,
this child.
And biological father one also has no rights.
Automatically deemed to not have rights. The operative word is deemed.
So when you
until
go
proven
and
otherwise.
Who's now mixed my life up like this? Mm. I've got partner one, partner two.
Mm.
Child with partner one, partner two has been giving us maintenance. Biological father has done nothing.
Yes.
Then biological father wants to have the rights to see the child and whatever. And I get also cocky and I refuse.
Mm.
Does biological father have rights?
Biological father has rights under Section 21.
Okay.
Ne? Section 21 is rights of unmarried fathers.
Okay.
Right. So Section 19 deals with what is deemed to be the situation if you have a child out of the bounds of marriage. And then Section 20 says if you are married, you are automatically deemed to have rights over the child the same as the mother.
Mm.
Section 21 is rights of unmarried fathers.
Mm.
Now this is where now you can claim and assert your rights over your rights and responsibilities. Operative word, sorry, rights and responsibilities over this particular child.
Is it an obligation for the one with rights to take the responsibility to? In other words, if partner one, who happens to be biological father, wants to have a relationship with their child, I guess a spouse, and cannot support this child financially.
Mm-hmm.
Does it take away his rights?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He can claim. All, remember, Section, again, the Children's Act, all it wants is for you to just confirm you are the father. Whether or not we are maintaining it, it's irrelevant to the Children's
so
Act.
I cannot say that idiot left here and did nothing.
Yeah.
He cannot see the child. That's not my place to say.
Ne? No.
It's not my business.
Correct.
The man has a right to his child.
Yes.
Whether he's got 2 cents or not.
Yes.
It's his child.
Yes.
Really. Okay.
So that's what always happens in children's court. You find that Pimelowalla.
So where's this idea that people say, because how maintain you have no... Where do people get that?
I have no idea.
But...
It's there.
But it's illegal.
Yeah.
You have no right to withhold the child because the person does not pay maintenance.
You have no right to withhold the child if the person doesn't pay maintenance. You have no right to withhold the child if Hawantua Tenyo damages.
Mm-hmm.
You have no right to withhold the child if you feel customary rights have not been followed.
You just have no rights.
You just have no rights.
You have no... The father is the father is the father.
Correct.
Is the father.
Correct.
But really.
Correct.
Mm. You have no rights. Mm. The father is the father is the father.
If you feel hori or juan, that's your feeling, you're entitled to it, but do not insert it in the situation that we're talking about.
Even if he does not pay 2 cents,
correct,
guys,
so.
He's got every right to see the child,
correct,
and visit the child.
Correct.
Do not get it twisted. Do not let them tell you that they are... You're going to be in trouble.
You'll find yourself facing a situation of having to deal with Section 31 of the Children's Act, wherein you are now deemed to be the parent who's alienating the other parent from the child.
It's different, though, to a spouse who decides to not do... So the spouse has obligations, right?
Yes.
The spouse... So the father who is a spouse has obligations.
Yes.
Unlike the unmarried one, ne?
Yes.
Ah, so that one has the obligations to do what he has to do.
Correct. So... There's a concept, Ribiza, the nescaturis fiction.
Mm.
So from the moment that this child is conceived, they are deemed to be a living, breathing human being that God is supposed to receive. Mm. Ne? Up until the moment that this child is born, we can see whether they're unfortunately going to be born alive or dead. Then it determines what's going to happen. But within those 9 months that this person is within the female's body, the rights and obligations that are due to the child start from date of conception due to what we call the nescaturis fiction. So as a father who happened to be married to this woman at the time of conceiving this child, the rights and obligations and responsibilities start from there.
It's unlike that other one who's not married.
Correct.
That's it. Let's take a phone call. I've got a... Is that Dr. Selby? Dr. Selby, hello, how are you?
I'm blessed, being pleasure. How are you?
We are also so blessed. Thank you so much for calling, Dr. Selby.
Tabi Singh, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. Selby. How are you?
I'm blessed, being pleasure.
Amen.
No, people po vote. If Tate 1 has a nyali, or can Tate 2 Africa nyala, Tate 2 nearly the rights mo wanengo, the race why.
So ntate wani wentse ngwana tsa maya ntate 2 abata tsonga responsibility. So ntate 2 uba o rekena o nne di rights ka pa hana di rights
wa botsa ya.
Yeah, o nne di rights nna ka ge yena a nyetse.
So
akere ha dena tlokometse ngwana.
So akere unfortunately this is the situation. You like a nakitsho. If otlo we hapale namane ne you're doing it ka setso and you're doing the right thing utlo hudisa ngwana, but legally speaking how some adopt ngwana yo ka mantso mang utlo se di rights tsa ntate ola wa ntate 1 you don't have a say ya hore na ngwana na ho etsa lang should musadi wa how only husband or partner number 2 a hloka hale ngwana o antsa le under the age of 18 automatically the rights it's only on ngwana nwana they go back to father number 1 so ho tla ba fela determined hore na ngwana o dilemo dikae ene yena se ya haina ereng. So from like boma age 10 9 10 ho ya udin, the child can have a say hore a ena ke batlo ya mo ke batla ho ya mo, but if a little lower than that automatically tshwantsa closer from the house ya hotseng ho yona and then go and live with biological father.
Then nka khona mo adopt ali.
Yes.
Yes,
you can. Mara, with the application to the High Court.
Do you need permission from Ndate number 1?
Yes, Ndate number 1 has to relinquish his rights in his rights and responsibilities to ngwana, and then a khone hore daddy number 2 atsebe ho adopt ngwana nwana. But if daddy number 1 does not want to let go of the rights and responsibilities, you have to make an application to the High Court in terms of section 25, if I'm not mistaken, or 27, the Children's Act, wherein if the reasons, now why would you want to strip this person
of their rights?
Of their rights, and then you would, we can and then the court will look at it because it's a very tough decision. They don't just make it automatically. If your argument is compelling and convincing enough, then those rights are stripped, and then you can automatically
adopt. And your argument cannot be happily maintained.
No.
See? So it doesn't mean, and I think that this will be an important one. It doesn't mean hore that the number 2 otlang le di chelete tsa hae, ne? And then that the number 1 biological father osnang sente. It automatically means that that the number 1 hana di rights ho feta number 2 a di chelete. Do you see? Because sometimes we make the mistake hore o slambane hana di rights. Kanti doesn't work like that.
Doesn't work like that.
La sa patele. O na le di rights. La o le rwena o batla o patela. Wa ikutlwa matla. It doesn't give you more rights.
Ke tsa haotse. So.
Thanks, Tata Selvi. Let's take a quick break and I'll take more of your calls on 086-00-00959. And we'll take those voice notes. I see them coming through 0636-880-959. And the WhatsApp note is 0636-880-959. Tabi Seng Dubazana is here. Your questions, please. We are speaking about maintenance. We are speaking about adoptions and the like. But you can ask any legal question. Tabi Seng is very happy to look at it. Okay, so Tabi Seng.
Yes.
Back to the rights of people who are either married or not, and people who have the right to their child.
Yes.
So, biological father X, unemployed, great father, separated or was never married to the mother. There's an offspring. Mother has partner two, or spouse, whichever one it is. Who is financially capable of adopting, looking after this family? Does the court automatically deem the one with the financial muscle to be the better parent for the child?
No.
In other words, if father one decided, I want to have the rights to live with my child.
Yeah.
Will the court consider that, or does the financial muscle trump the rights of the father?
Everything falls on the best interests of the minor. Doesn't look at any of the adults until it is absolutely necessary. So the court is going to look at what is the relationship of the minor with father, biological father. If that relationship...
It's wonderful, but whatever.
Letting who afford that is also
relative.
It's objective to the person who's dealing with to the person who's dealing with the matter. So for the your private school in Bryanston somewhere where mom now lives with a new partner but can afford school osakasi. You know, these are things that is the education level at this particular school that the child is currently attending vis-a-vis a allegation. You look at that.
Why is Sokola? We create a 350. Why is Sokola and be saying, he's a good parent. He's a good father, except things are the way they are. The guy's unemployed. Maybe we create a 350 high, but that's it.
Then he has all the right to access to the child. So primary care can be with the partner that is more financially stable in order to give the child a better chance.
So he
chance.
May be disadvantaged because of that.
Only in the sense that he won't have primary care. In other words, he won't live with the kid 24/7 and then the other parent is the one that is visiting or getting access. But other than that, you're allowed to see your child.
You know, it may sound light, ne? But part of the reason why this is an important question, it's exactly why sometimes you find in, I'll call them homes, you would have the rich uncle who has this muscle to use and abuse because it's the rich uncle. Because everybody deems the rich uncle to be the better home.
Yes.
As opposed to the one with no money. Whereas, you know, maybe rich uncle, but rich uncle has got funny tendencies.
Or abusive. So what the court... Okay, let me speak of cases that I have dealt with. I've dealt with a situation where dad is financially stronger than mom and the kids were residing with dad for a few years. But then the kids were very unhappy and they were not treated in the manner that they liked and they were of age where they could speak their mind. And they made the choice to say, Dad, we've lived with you, Reshapo. We are now going to go and live with mom. And mom, as I said, is financially, she was not the one. And in the opposite flip side, even though this one is not one that I dealt with, there's a case that was decided about 2 years ago wherein dad made an application for primary care because mom, not only was she not financially stable, mm-hmm. but she was doing things, she was intentionally making sure that dad and baby do not have a relationship.
So the primary care, is it automatic to the mother?
No. It is not automatic to the mother. Courts have time and again said that primary care is of the parent who is more suited to raise the child, whether it's financially, emotional care, and stability. Section 7 of the Children's Act is very strict, or say that you need to give a child stability. There has to be a routine that makes sense for the child to grow up in. And if you cannot provide that because of whatever reason, in this case that I'm referring to, every time that there were so many interim orders for access for dad, but every time dad is supposed to access the child per the court order that exists, mom would move. But every time I come as dad to come see baby, now you're not allowing me for the first two or three times. How you and then all of a sudden you've picked up and you moved. So now when I was like in a school of mine, so within 2 years this kid changed schools 8 times because mom was making sure that dad has no access. And there was court orders that were already in place. Mm. And then the social services, unfortunately, in this particular case, were biased without even researching what happened in this particular case. They just told Corey, it's a mom, therefore mothers are always right, therefore the child should reside with mom. And their report was completely ignored by the court because of the various court orders that have been in place that showed the mom's behavior and intentional alienation of dad from the child. And then they made dad primary caregiver. The child was 3 years old. And then she got access, I think, like on weekends, supervised for that matter. So she went from being full-time on to supervised. Yeah.
How do we determine the maintenance value?
Okay. So maintenance is dealt with in the maintenance court. Sometimes you see people trying to argue for maintenance in the children's court, like we said in the beginning, habadali, therefore he can't see the child.
Mm.
So maintenance is dealt with in the maintenance court, and there's a form that you need to fill in when you're applying for maintenance. So if in the household, as the parent that's living with the child, Lee 3, it's yourself, maybe the help, the nanny, and the baby, and your income as the person who is bringing food into the house is 10,000 rand, 9,000 to make it easy. You need to divide that 9,000 rand by 3 because it is deemed as if you would be bringing in the income, the nanny would be bringing in the income. So the child, if the child was of age, this would be their income towards the household, right? So we divide everything in the house by 3. Expenses, DSTV, internet, food, shelter, everything is divided by 3. That third that belongs to the child, then that's what we deal with. So from that, let's say the household expenses are worth 9,000 rand. You divide it by 3, which means the child's contribution would have been 3,000 rand if they were grown up enough. From that 3,000 rand, that's the 100% that is supposed to be used to support this child. Mm. That is the 3,000 that we're now going to deal with and say, mom, dad, let's look at your expenses. We get your 6 months bank statement, we get your 6 months bank statement, and we see what your liabilities are and all of that, and what is left over after everything is said and done. If you as mom, even if you are the one who is living with the child or being the primary caregiver, if your salary is higher than dad's, your right of maintenance is higher. So from that 3,000, if we're not as mom, you were claiming to get maybe 2.5 from dad, which is 95% or whatever of the income, then we look at your salary. Your salary is actually 10,000 rand. You can afford that much. His salary is 5,000 rand. Then we're going to say, no, sorry, ma'am. From this 3,000, you will pay 80% of that 3,000. Dad will pay the balance.
Wait.
Even though you live with the child.
Wait.
even though you live with the child.
I want to say that because the thing about maintenance is that people are assuming that it's only one person's responsibility.
Mm.
It's not.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So even though you're living with the child,
you both share the responsibility of the maintenance of the child.
Correct. So
the other one is just contributing to the one who's living with
correct
them.
Correct. So
not that they're the only one paying.
Yes.
You are both supposed to contribute.
Yes. Yes. Mm. So usually the parent that's living with the child feel like they're being dealt a poor hand.
Yes.
Because they're dealing with a lot more, which yes, most likely you are. The unexpected
are,
things that are coming
you
in.
You are the one who sees them sick.
Yes.
You're the one that has to wake up at night.
With that being said, if your general expenses for the month really do amount to this, you are still going to be liable for a lot more than the one that earns earns less. But if on the other side, you are the one that earns less as the person living with the child, then the one that earns more ends up paying 70 to 80% of that 3,000.
Even if you are living
that's
with the
correct
child.
That is correct.
If the one who's living with the child earns more, you pay more.
Yes. Yes. And it's that formula.
The payment is not because the one is not living with
that's
the
correct. That's correct.
So, Bafwetu, if you are working, let's say wena, the mother, you have a decent job. You're working. And when we say decent job, we're not saying that you're living in luxury. Hey, guys, let's just not get it twisted.
Mm.
We just mean that you've got a stable job and you're working and you've got your act together. Daddy leaves the house and maybe daddy hasn't got his act together. Sometimes he earns, sometimes he doesn't earn.
Yeah.
You go to maintenance court and you are upset that daddy is not paying. Daddy says, but I don't have money. It's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
You, mother, who is living with the child, who has got a steady income, you do have to pay more. So does that mean daddy can go goofing around? Yes, that's what it means. Does it mean he doesn't owe you anything? Yes, it means he doesn't owe you anything. Hmm?
Yeah.
Hey, it's like that. I can't make it
alone. And also, be mindful, ne? Even if Apatala, that minimal and whatnot, should things go south for him,
he doesn't have to pay.
Or your maintenance officer without and, telling you.
And he's going to say, I
can't afford.
And do you think he did it deliberately? It doesn't matter what you think.
Yeah.
Do you think he doesn't want to work because he doesn't want to pay maintenance? Yes, it doesn't matter. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Just when I bite the bullet. It's like that.
It is.
Because sometimes he doesn't want to work because he doesn't want to pay maintenance. Yes, it's like that.
Mm.
And there's nothing anybody can do about it. It is like that.
Correct.
Mm.
Correct.
And no court is going to change that. Mm. And you cannot refuse him to see the child.
Yes.
Yes, folks.
Yes.
That's difficult. Eh?
It's extremely difficult. It's very hard for people to accept, especially with our culture, the way Linga thing.
Knowing he's goofing around, knowing he's making money, mm. but you can't prove it because
yes.
How about bank account too? Mariana Whitehall. And then he still wants to see the child. Yes, but wait, it's like that. Does he do it deliberately? It doesn't matter. Oksalai. He has the right and he doesn't have to pay.
I have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I've been searching for the same-sex thing
mm-hmm.
before we close up. So a civil union is a marriage, recognized as a marriage between two persons, including people of the same sex, right?
Yes.
And it is automatically in community of property unless you enter into an ANC.
Yes. We discussed that. About
yes.
That.
And then permanent life partner is the same as cohabitation. I just wanted the correct wording so that I don't.
It's the same as cohabitation.
Yes.
So it's got the same rights.
Yes.
for those who are heterosexuals and for those. Okay, perfect. All right. Thanks, Ntabi Singh. Thank you so much. Where do people find you?
We are in Randburg on 272 Oak Avenue. We're on the ground floor, office G2. Otherwise, you can call us on 087-265-8010 or WhatsApp us on 079-654-7523. Send an email at info@dubazanatennis.co.za.
Thanks, guys. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.